Anxiety has reached epidemic proportions in our modern world, with over 264 million people worldwide suffering from anxiety disorders. What makes Judson Brewer's Unwinding Anxiety stand out in the crowded self-help landscape is its revolutionary approach, treating anxiety not as a condition to be managed, but as a habit that can be broken. The book has garnered praise from mental health professionals and celebrities alike, with Arianna Huffington calling it a groundbreaking approach to understanding and treating anxiety. Since its 2021 publication, the book has become a New York Times bestseller and has been translated into over 20 languages. What's particularly fascinating is how Brewer's personal experience with panic attacks during his medical residency led him to develop this science-backed approach that has helped thousands break free from anxiety's grip. The book's impact has been so significant that his related TED Talk has garnered over 16 million views, making it one of the most watched presentations on mental health. Anxiety manifests differently for everyone, creating a complex tapestry of experiences that often go unrecognized. For some, it's a constant low-grade hum of unease that colors every daily interaction. For others, it's sudden, heart-pounding panic attacks that strike without warning, turning routine activities into overwhelming challenges. What's particularly fascinating is how anxiety rates are highest in wealthy countries, 5%, compared to low-income nations, 1.6%, suggesting our modern lifestyle, with its endless notifications, career pressures, and social media comparisons, may be fueling this epidemic. The COVID-19 pandemic only intensified this trend, with psychological distress increasing by a staggering 250% compared to pre-pandemic levels, forcing many to confront anxiety in isolation. What makes anxiety particularly insidious is how it hides in plain sight, masquerading as personality traits or physical ailments. My digestive issues during college weren't just stress, as I insisted to my doctor. They were anxiety manifesting physically through chronic stomach pain, acid reflux, and irregular eating patterns. My wife experiences anxiety as a formless feeling that attaches to whatever situation it can find, from minor workplace disagreements to routine parent-teacher conferences, transforming manageable situations into sources of overwhelming dread. My attorney friend Emily suffered jolting panic attacks that woke her in the night during stressful career periods, her heart racing and mind spinning with worst-case scenarios about upcoming court cases. Anxiety rarely travels alone, operating instead as part of a complex network of psychological challenges. About 80 to 84% of people with generalized anxiety disorder experience other psychiatric conditions, most commonly depression. This comorbidity makes treatment more complex, but also highlights the interconnected nature of our emotional health. Some individuals develop social anxiety alongside general anxiety, while others experience specific phobias or obsessive-compulsive tendencies that compound their daily struggles. The science behind anxiety reveals its fascinating origins. Fear, an adaptive evolutionary response that kept our ancestors alive, meets uncertainty, which our prefrontal cortex struggles to process effectively. This creates a perfect storm, where our brain, lacking sufficient information to make accurate predictions, generates increasingly catastrophic what-if scenarios as a protective mechanism. Modern life, with its information overload, endless choices, and constant connectivity, has created an environment where anxiety thrives. The average person today makes more decisions in a week than our ancestors made in a year, overwhelming our brain's capacity to process uncertainty. Understanding anxiety as more than just excessive worry is the first step towards addressing it effectively. By recognizing its varied manifestations, from physical symptoms like muscle tension and sleep disruption to avoidance behaviors and excessive planning, we can begin to identify how it operates in our own lives. Common physical manifestations include headaches, digestive issues, and fatigue, while behavioral signs might include procrastination, overpreparation, or difficulty making decisions. Some people experience anxiety through racing thoughts and constant mental chatter, while others feel it primarily through bodily sensations or social withdrawal. Anxiety operates through a surprisingly simple mechanism called a habit loop. This three-part cycle consists of a trigger, feeling uncertain or stressed, a behavior, worrying, overthinking, or other coping mechanisms, and a reward, temporary relief, or feeling like you're doing something about the problem. The habit loop isn't a new concept. It's an ancient survival mechanism that helped our ancestors remember where to find food and avoid danger. Our cave-dwelling predecessors used this reward-based learning system to create context-dependent memories triggered by dopamine. What's changed is how we apply this system. While our ancestors used it to remember food locations, we now use it for emotional regulation. Feel bad? Eat chocolate. Feel stressed? Check social media. What makes anxiety particularly tricky is that the behavior part of the loop often involves mental activities like worry. Research by T.D. Borkovec shows that worry presents itself as problem-solving but rarely delivers solutions. Instead, it creates a self-perpetuating cycle where anxiety triggers worry, which increases anxiety, which triggers more worry. The reward in this cycle is subtle but powerful. Worrying gives us an illusion of control or the feeling that we're addressing the problem. This temporary relief reinforces the behavior, even though it ultimately makes anxiety worse. Over time, this pattern becomes so ingrained that we worry habitually about anything and everything, the hallmark of generalized anxiety disorder. Modern life has supercharged these habit loops through two powerful maximizers. First, intermittent reinforcement, unpredictable rewards that spike dopamine levels, explains why slot machines, social media notifications, and email alerts are so compelling. Second, immediate availability. The collapse of time between desire and fulfillment eliminates the cooling-off period that once allowed impulses to fade. Companies expertly exploit these vulnerabilities. Food manufacturers engineer perfect combinations of salt, sugar, and crunch. Social media platforms optimize algorithms to maximize scrolling time. Retailers design websites with psychological hooks. Our smartphones have become advertising billboards we willingly carry everywhere, constantly reinforcing our habit loops. Breaking free from anxiety begins with mapping your habit loops, a process Brewer calls first gear. This involves clearly identifying the three components: trigger, behavior, and result, or reward. This mapping exercise illuminates the black box of mental patterns that keep us trapped in anxiety. Take John, a mid-60s alcoholic patient whose drinking habit was triggered by work-related anxiety. By mapping John's habit loops, he gained clarity about how anxiety about unfinished work led to procrastination and eventually drinking to numb his feelings. This simple awareness exercise helped him quit drinking and improve his marriage by recognizing how anxiety affected his reactions to his wife's culturally different communication style. The key is to map your habit loops without rushing to fix them, as understanding precedes change. Many people get excited about seeing their patterns and immediately try to fix them using previously unsuccessful methods. This is like trying to fix a car without understanding how engines work. Conceptual understanding alone isn't sufficient, like Daniel in The Karate Kid, who needed wax on, wax off practice rather than just reading about karate. While mapping can sometimes lead to immediate change, most long-established habits require patient, experiential learning before moving to active change strategies. Dave's story illustrates this process perfectly. After mapping his anxiety habit loops, Dave realized how eating to cope with anxiety actually made him feel worse. Over 6 months, he lost 97 pounds, reversed his liver problems and sleep apnea, normalized his blood pressure, and even became an Uber driver, remarkable for someone who previously feared highways. Why does mapping work when other strategies fail? Our brains form habits to conserve energy. If we had to relearn basic tasks daily, we'd be exhausted by noon. This efficiency explains why old habits persist. Common strategies like willpower, substitution, and environmental priming offer temporary relief but don't address the underlying mechanism. Mindfulness, defined as awareness with curiosity, emerges as the most promising approach because it helps pop the hood on automatic behaviors, allowing us to recognize habit loops in progress rather than after completion. Our behavioral patterns fall into three basic categories derived from our survival instincts: approach/fight, avoid/flight, and freeze. These fundamental responses, shaped by millions of years of evolution, align with modern reward-based learning mechanisms and influence how we interact with the world around us. Bucket 1. Approach/fight. People motivated by positive reinforcement who tend to be enthusiastic, social, and pleasure-seeking. These individuals are natural risk-takers, drawn to novel experiences and rewards. They excel in sales, leadership positions, and creative endeavors. However, they may struggle with impulse control, overspending, or difficulty following through on long-term commitments. Bucket 2. Avoid flight. People motivated by negative reinforcement who tend to be critical, detail-oriented, and judgmental. These individuals excel at identifying potential problems and maintaining high standards. They make exceptional analysts, editors, and quality control specialists. Their challenge lies in excessive worry, perfectionism, and difficulty accepting imperfection in themselves and others. Bucket 3. Freeze. People who are more middle ground, neither strongly pulled by pleasure nor pushed by discomfort. These individuals often serve as mediators and bring balanced perspectives to situations. They excel in artistic pursuits, counseling, and collaborative environments. Their tendency to avoid conflict can lead to indecision and missed opportunities. Understanding your predominant tendency reveals both strengths and habitual patterns that might cause problems. Approach types might excel in marketing but tend toward overindulgence in food, shopping, or risky behavior. Avoid types excel in precision tasks but can become paralyzed by analysis and criticism. Go with the flow types are creative and adaptable but might struggle with assertiveness and setting boundaries. This framework, derived from a 5th century meditation manual called The Path of Purification, provides personalized recommendations based on your behavioral tendencies. For example, approach types benefit from structured practices that cultivate patience, avoid types from self-compassion exercises, and freeze types from practices that build confidence and decisiveness. Mindfulness, the awareness that arises through paying attention in the present moment, on purpose, non-judgmentally, helps us observe these habit patterns in action. It's not about emptying the mind or stopping thoughts, but changing our relationship to thoughts and emotions. Regular practice helps develop the capacity to notice triggers and pause before reactive responses. Research shows mindfulness can quiet the default mode network, which activates during mind wandering and occupies about 50% of our waking lives. The posterior cingulate cortex, a hub of the DMN, becomes active during craving, rumination, and anxious worry. Brain imaging studies demonstrate that experienced meditators show reduced activity in these areas during both meditation and daily activities. Mindfulness training reduces PCC activity, which explains why it works best with depression and anxiety. It targets the shared element of perseverative thinking, regardless of whether it's about the past, depression, or future, anxiety. This neurological evidence supports the ancient wisdom that understanding and working with our behavioral tendencies can lead to greater emotional regulation and well-being. The second gear in unwinding anxiety involves updating your brain's reward values. Our brains form habits based on how rewarding behaviors feel, creating a hierarchy where behaviors with bigger rewards win out. This explains why we prefer cake to broccoli. Our brains value high-calorie foods that trigger dopamine releases. The orbitofrontal cortex, OFC, integrates all sensory and emotional information to create a composite reward value for behaviors, making them automatic. To break bad habits, we must update these reward values through awareness, paying close attention to how unrewarding these behaviors actually feel in the present moment, not relying on past associations. Dana Small's neuroscience experiment revealed something profound about craving. Participants ate their favorite chocolate while rating their desire for more, with ratings dropping from plus 10, I really want another piece, to minus 10, awful, eating more would make me sick. Brain scans showed the posterior cingulate cortex activated during both delight and disgust, the common denominator being wanting or craving. This matters because mindfully tracking our satisfaction helps us notice the tipping point from pleasure to displeasure. Our attitude shapes how we experience even mundane tasks like taking out garbage. Pairing an action with negativity makes it harder each time, while approaching it neutrally makes it easier. When struggling with habits, thinking, "not this again," or "I'll never change," creates a secondary negative habit loop on top of the original problem. Instead, bringing playful curiosity to our experience offers a triple benefit. The original habit becomes easier to work with, we let go of unhelpful attitudes, and we develop the rewarding habit of curiosity. Contrary to the popular belief that it takes 21 days to form a habit, research by Philippa Lally found behaviors took between 18 and 254 days to become automatic. The Rescorla-Wagner reinforcement learning model explains how habits change. Our brain assigns reward values to behaviors and updates these values when outcomes differ from expectations. Studies using the author's craving tool in apps for smoking cessation and mindful eating show that after 10 to 15 mindful experiences, the reward value of problematic behaviors drops significantly. The key insight: you can't think your way out of bad habits or into good ones. You must experience the actual rewards, or lack thereof, through mindful attention. The third gear in unwinding anxiety involves finding a bigger, better offer, BBO, for your brain to replace anxiety habits. Once you've built momentum in second gear by feeling genuine disenchantment with your anxiety habits, you're ready to shift into third gear. This transition represents a crucial pivot from recognizing problematic patterns to actively cultivating alternatives. The key insight is that our brains are wired for reward-based learning, constantly seeking the most valuable option. This evolutionary programming means we naturally gravitate toward experiences that offer the highest perceived reward. Willpower alone can't compete with the addictive forces of modern life. Our cognitive control structures shut down under stress, particularly when cortisol levels rise. The solution isn't fighting cravings with reason, but finding rewards that feel better than anxiety without feeding the habit loop. This might mean discovering activities or mental states that provide genuine satisfaction rather than temporary relief. Unlike substitution strategies that create new problematic habits through habituation, such as replacing cigarettes with candy, anxiety with social media, or work stress with comfort eating, mindfulness provides an internally based alternative that's always available and genuinely more rewarding than anxiety states. The key difference is that mindfulness doesn't deplete with use. Instead, it becomes more accessible and effective with practice. Curiosity, our innate capacity for wonder and discovery, serves as a powerful BBO. It manifests in two distinct forms: interest curiosity, pleasurable, expansive, and driven by wonder, and deprivation curiosity, restless, contracted, and driven by information gaps that create discomfort until filled. Interest curiosity feels open and delightful. The process itself is rewarding rather than just the answer. For example, watching a sunset with interest curiosity involves savoring the changing colors and patterns, while deprivation curiosity would focus on knowing exactly what time the sun will set. Most people approach themselves with deprivation curiosity, like problems to be solved, constantly asking, "Why am I like this?" or "How do I fix this?" However, by leveraging interest curiosity, we can break old habits and build new ones. Rather than thinking our way out of anxiety, we can get curious about what anxiety actually feels like in our bodies, staying at the top of the curiosity curve instead of assuming we need a magic solution. This might involve noticing the sensation of butterflies in your stomach or tension in your shoulders with genuine interest rather than judgment. The hum practice, a simple sound that helps people drop directly into embodied curiosity, proves more effective than willpower while bringing playfulness to experience. This seemingly simple technique activates the brain's natural curiosity circuits and helps interrupt the anxiety cycle. As one patient reported, responding to panic with, "that's interesting," took the wind out of anxiety's sails. The practice works because it shifts attention from the anxiety-producing narrative to direct experience, creating space for new responses to emerge. When consistently applied, this approach helps rewire the brain's reward system, making curiosity and mindfulness more appealing than anxiety-driven behaviors. Regular practice strengthens neural pathways that support this healthier response, making it increasingly natural and automatic over time. When anxiety strikes, several practical tools can help you step out of habit loops and into present moment awareness. 1. The curiosity exercise. Find a quiet place where you can concentrate. Recall your most recent encounter with a habit loop, remembering the scene, and shifting into retrospective second gear to focus on the behavior itself. Try to relive that experience, focusing on what you felt. Check in with your body, identifying the strongest sensation you feel and where exactly you feel it. Get curious about these sensations with your inner, and observe how they might change when viewed with curiosity. 2. Breath awareness. Your breath serves as an always available tree root to grab when sliding off anxiety cliffs. Unlike distraction techniques, breath awareness keeps you embodied and present rather than escaping your experience. This practice helps build mental curiosity muscles while providing a third gear practice for stepping out of old habit loops into more rewarding ones. 4. RAIN practice. When cravings and anxiety ambush you, this acronym stands for recognize, relax into what's arising, accept, allow it to be there, investigate bodily sensations, emotions, and thoughts, and note what's happening moment to moment. By curiously investigating anxiety as it builds in your body, where does it originate? What does it feel like? You can ride the wave until it subsides. 5. Loving kindness practice. This draws on our innate capacity for genuine well-wishing toward ourselves and others. Research shows it decreases activity in self-judgmental brain regions like the posterior cingulate cortex. The practice involves using centering phrases, visualizing the recipient of kindness, and recognizing the feeling of kindness in your body. Though initially challenging, loving kindness practice helps break habit loops of contraction and self-righteousness, replacing them with openness and expansion. The key to making these practices effective is consistency, short moments, many times throughout the day. Unlike drill sergeant self-motivation that ultimately fails, these practices naturally draw us in because they feel good. While formal meditation sessions are valuable, like going to the gym, the real transformation happens when we bring awareness into everyday moments, making the entire world your mental gym. As you approach the end of your journey, you might wonder, am I going to be able to make lasting change? The answer lies in consistent practice, mapping habit loops, examining behavior results, and writing out urges. With practice comes calibration, the ability to recognize both contraction with worry and expansion with kindness and curiosity. This calibration develops gradually, like building a muscle, becoming more refined and automatic over time. Two types of faith support this journey: the initial leap of faith when trying something new, and the more sustainable, evidence-based faith that builds through personal experience. The leap of faith might feel uncomfortable at first, like stepping into unknown territory, but it's essential for beginning the transformation process. Evidence-based faith develops as you accumulate small wins and notice subtle changes in your response to anxiety-triggering situations. The scientific backing for mindfulness is substantial and growing. Research from multiple prestigious institutions has demonstrated remarkable results. Mindfulness training was 5 times better than leading treatments for smoking cessation, reduced anxiety symptoms by 63% in clinical studies, and showed measurable changes in brain structure after just 8 weeks of practice. Brain imaging studies have revealed increased density in regions associated with self-awareness, compassion, and emotional regulation. Personal evidence becomes your most powerful motivator. Each practice session provides data points about your capacity for change. For instance, you might notice that morning anxiety decreases after a week of regular meditation, or that work stress becomes more manageable when you apply the RAIN technique: recognize, allow, investigate, nurture. The author's experience with Michael, a staff member of Congressman Tim Ryan, illustrates this perfectly. After a 5-minute conversation and using the Craving to Quit app, Michael went from smoking 10 cigarettes daily to quitting completely within 21 days and remained smoke-free 6 years later. His success came not just from the initial intervention, but from consistently observing and working with his cravings mindfully. This approach to anxiety isn't about eliminating uncertainty from your life. That's impossible and potentially counterproductive. Instead, it's about fundamentally changing your relationship with uncertainty so that it no longer triggers destructive habit loops. By bringing awareness, curiosity, and kindness to your experience, you can unwind anxiety and discover a more spacious, peaceful way of being in the world. This might mean learning to sit with uncomfortable feelings, recognizing them as temporary visitors rather than permanent residents of your mind. This approach to anxiety isn't about eliminating uncertainty from your life. That's impossible and potentially counterproductive. Instead, it's about fundamentally changing your relationship with uncertainty so that it no longer triggers destructive habit loops. By bringing awareness, curiosity, and kindness to your experience, you can unwind anxiety and discover a more spacious, peaceful way of being in the world. This might mean learning to sit with uncomfortable feelings, recognizing them as temporary visitors rather than permanent residents of your mind. Remember, anxiety is not who you are. It's just a habit you've developed. And like any habit, it can be unwound with the right approach and consistent practice. The journey may not be linear, and you'll likely encounter setbacks and challenges along the way. However, each step, even the challenging ones, brings you closer to freedom from anxiety's grip. Success often comes not from avoiding difficulties, but from changing how you relate to them, building resilience and wisdom through direct experience.